thinking about the word, the breath of life, the breath of God, and just meditating on the reality that we're talking about God exhaling. You know, God's spirit is breath on me. It's like it's an action of God toward us, an action of God for us. And it might seem rather obvious to say that, but that's deep. It's actually theologically deep to get your head around that, that God is for us. We can sometimes feel like the whole world's against us, or the circumstances are conspiring to shut us down or close us down or whatever. As we sing a song like that, we're asking the Holy Spirit to do something He's so willing to do. He is so willing to put His life, His everything into us. He gave us His everything in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so it's a consistent theme for Him to continue by His Spirit to breathe into us so that we can live, so that we can have power, so that we can have a sense of ability to overcome everything that life throws at us. So this morning, my prayer, amongst other things, would be that the breath of life, the Spirit of God, would breathe on our mums. The mothers that are here this morning, the mothers that are not here this morning, my mum passed away, I think it's 7 years ago. It's hard to believe, 6 years ago. But I know that my mum lives on in a manner of speaking. Not, I don't mean in a spooky sense at all. Don't believe that. But I'll explain what I mean in a minute. So I just want to pray, then I'll get you to sit down. Heavenly Father, we pray that every heart, every soul this morning would be open to hear from your word, Lord. Especially pray that the mums would be encouraged and strengthened as they journey through life as only a mum can. And Lord, as a bloke, it's a little difficult to get my head around what mums do and what mums put up with. I see bits and pieces of it. I've watched my kids grow up and now grandchildren. Yet, Lord, I know that you know every mum here just so personally, intimately, in that sense of every tear, Lord, every molecule in their body, Lord, every disease and sickness that they've maybe weathered as a mum or because they are a mum. I've watched their kids get sick and recover. Some mums here have seen their children get sick and not recover, and their children are passed on, died. And Lord, so today is a day of mixed feelings, and we reflect on all that, that life is certainly a kaleidoscope of issues and moments. But Lord, as we pause here in this moment today, we pray that every mum assembled would find a sense of strength and courage just settling on them like never before, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Tell a mum next to you, she's looking pretty hot. Thank you, team. I said to Julie this morning, I find after doing what we've been doing for over 20 years that Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day becomes a bit of a tough gig to have something fresh to say in some senses of the word. And so I kind of sat on some ideas during the week and have come up with a blokey message for mums. Okay? I want to talk to you about balance, about a balanced life as a mum. And I hope this message encourages you that you can have a balanced life as a mum. I hope it encourages those of us here that are not mums that we've got actually something to contribute to the mums in our world to help them have a balanced life. It's not like, oh, I'll just pray for you. No, let's be a little more practical than that. Let's be a little more helpful than that. Obviously, depending on our relationship with and connection with the mums that are here, whether it's an actual your mum or someone else's mum. And I had this picture in my mind and thought through the issue of structures, and mainly three, supported by three, self-supporting tower, like a television tower or some kind of communication tower. You don't find them out in the middle of nowhere just standing up with one prong or two. It's usually at least three, and it's got three anchor points, and that's just to give it strength, give it some sense of rigidity and ability to carry what's on top of it or whatever, and keep it balanced. And I found myself thinking along the lines of, well, what's in the Bible for us in that regard? And I've read this before in some leadership books, and this is not an original thought, but I thought it was worth unpacking it today for the mum's present. And I think to have a balanced life, you've got to have your head, your heart, and your hands all in sync as often as you can. So let me just say it again. I'm going to talk this morning about your head, as in your state of mind, your heart, and your hands. And if we get any one of those three out of whack, in other words, one of them is non-existent or is damaged or is kind of just lacking, the whole structure leans over and we become incapable of holding up the weight that we invariably will have as a mum. I think it's a real shame that, and I use that word carefully, but it is shame because it is what's going on, that social media has created this huge forum in which it seems to be okay to shame mums for what they don't do or what they haven't got or what they look like or what they're doing with their kids. And I can't help but think, you know what, I don't care who you think you are. I think it's a pretty self-righteous place to stand to point the finger at a mum, because mums are they're unbelievable people. The more I think about it, and what I wanted to say was a number of things this morning. You know, from the moment that each one of us in this room was conceived, our mother was affected by us. So straight away, at the moment of conception, however that happened, whether it was an IVF scenario where an embryo is implanted, as soon as that process is, this little life is connected to the mother, there's just this, I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor, but it would be in my understanding from a layperson's point of view that there's just this huge chemical, hormonal, physiological chain of events set off. And every moment, whether the person, as in the female, the woman, is aware of it or not, there's this little life growing inside her womb. And as you know, I don't know if there are any pregnant women here, longer term, present this morning, but it would appear to me that children... Kimberly, yes, give us a wave. Getting invaded, right? So it's like space invaders. This little being that we don't really know anything about is taken over the mum's body. Well, it feels like that, it would appear to me. And certainly towards the end of the pregnancy for our three kids, I do remember Julie being a little kind of over sharing her space with an unknown little gremlin. But you know, at that... Yeah, but at that point, you know, a mum's got hands that will work hard for the child once it's born, but the other side of the birthing moment, all the hands can do is maybe feel an abdomen, might feel a foot or a leg or a bum sort of sticking out, and it's like the hands actually aren't making contact. And it's a beautiful thing that once the child's born, if they're placed on their mother's breast and the mum's able to hug this little person, there's this touch that's no longer about invasion. It's no longer about taking up space that's kind of her space. It's about her immediately embracing this little person and giving he or her it some space. But it's that embrace that's the hands. And so the hands of a mum are precious. And I want to talk about that a little bit more as we go through this morning. I've got three key scriptures that I thought, well, in the Bible, what does it really identify? And I did just a word search on hands in the NIV, and I think it was 1,379 occurrences of the word hand in the Bible. That's a fairly significant number of times, because hands are used for all sorts of descriptions about handing things over. They were given into the hand, they were handed, it's like there's that context, but Proverbs 31, where there's a section about the wife of noble character, one of the words that's prevalent in that chapter, Proverbs chapter 31, is the hands. Honour her for all her hands have done. This morning, women, mums that are here, I want you to just like just in where you're sitting, just open your hands up in your lap where you sit. And think about what your hands have done this week. Some of you have got little infants have wiped a pooey nappy up. You might have scrubbed vomit off the wall. You might have washed clothes that from all members of the family that you wish you didn't ever even handle. You might have had to spank somebody if you reprimand your kids in that area, that way. You might have had to just put your hand on a child to calm them down. You might have reached out to grab something. You might have had to reach out for your little tacker that was about to run across the road and grab them with your hand. You might have had to wipe a tear off your face. You might have picked up a comb to brush your hair to make yourself look as beautiful as you want to look. What have your hands done this week? Well, I want to say to you, take notice of what you do with your hands because it is highly valued. Everything you do with your hands is important. Maybe you have got on the road and had a moment of madness and gave somebody a hand sign you wish you hadn't. I'm not saying that mum's hands are always doing the good thing because they're humans. Just saying, women, don't be thinking. I sometimes think with the arena of gender politics, actually, that's a part of our community. There's this implied comment and commentary. It's not stated outright, but it's certainly implied that there are certain elements of gender that are better character than others. And that's not true. Doesn't matter who we are, whether we're gender, male, female, or something ill-defined, whatever that might be, and I'm not going to get into the permutations of that. Let's just say whoever you are and whatever you are, you're a person who's failed God and you're actually in need of redemption. You're in need of salvation. You're in need of restoration to God. That's just an aside. So let me just read some more from Proverbs 31. Verse 13 says, she, the wife of noble character, which could be a mum, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. I love the fact that one of the most sort of comforting thoughts I can think of is when my mum would just give me a hug. When my mum would do things with her hands. My mum was a good cook and she used to make great food. My mum was a cleaning nutter. She was almost obsessive. Her house was spotless. She worked with her hands to vacuum and to scrub and all those things, which they were important to her. And I, looking back on them, I value them. Whether they were obsessive or not, I guess we'll have a discussion one day, but she certainly was obsessive, if you ask me, about that. So being a mum is a special calling that I want to say we should all honour. So from the moment that we are born, our mums are doing things for us. From the moment we're conceived, we start to invade their space, as I said. What a gift, what amazing self-sacrifice. That's even before we're born, let alone when we're sort of this side of that occasion in time. Mums go through a lot. So as much as it's up to us, we need to, when we're mature enough to action this, listening if there were some kids present, we need to help or acknowledge our mothers in these three areas. So what is it that we can do? I want to talk to you this morning about your state of mind as a mum. What stresses you out the most? What is it that causes you to lie awake at night sometimes, which is say with worry? We're not talking about feelings, we're talking about facts, we're talking about information, we're talking about things, because the Bible's got a great word of encouragement for us in Romans 12 verse 2. It says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, we can have mindsets. Maybe you've got some seriously drilled into you expectations of what you'll do as a mother that you've never stopped to think where that came from. Why do I expect that I can do this when it's kind of over a long period of time become obvious that it's nearly killing you to do that? I want to say to this morning, I've got good news. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Maybe it's possible that somebody or God himself can visit you, but maybe there's relationships and friendships and family members that are meant to and have been called by God to help you have a transformation of your mind moment. The Bible doesn't say anything in that scripture from Romans 12. This is all super spiro, God doing stuff behind the scenes stuff. It can be that. But Paul is way more practical than that. He's saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, it's possible to deal with our whole life differently if we can think differently, if we can think differently, if we can look at problems differently. I had a comment during the week of a great friend and a colleague from the United Kingdom called Paul Scanlon's been in town, and he's in Darwin this weekend, and he made a comment for leadership that just struck a note with me, because, and for some of the mums that are here, maybe this is just a help for you. There's sometimes where we feel like we've got to solve a problem. We've actually got to resolve this issue. Maybe you've got some siblings that are squabbling, and you're just kind of at the end of your tether, and it's like, in some sense, you're like, I just like to solve the thing. It might involve a little bit of blood on the floor, someone getting their lights punched out. You might be at that point of absolute frustration with something going on in your family. And because of the way you're wired, you're a problem solver, and you want this problem solved. And so part of the stress that gets into us when we're like that is, this thing's not resolved. And I'm really ticked about it. I'm really expecting it to be, you kids, cut that. I've told you 1,000 times, don't do that. That's a problem-solving mindset. But is it possible to step back from that and have a mindset that focuses on managing the tension, so that the mental energy in your world is not applied to resolving this and getting frustrated because it's not resolved, but accepting that it can't be changed and maybe the kids won't get it, or they'll get it, but it'll be when they're left home, thank the Lord. It's like, and then it's not my problem anymore, but it's like managing the tension. And managing it means I don't have to solve it. It just means I'm going to manage. There's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days, and there's going to be days in between, and that's okay. And all of a sudden, when someone like me up here is talking about, as a mum, you can have peace of mind. You can have peace of mind because that little bit of information can help you stop trying to solve problems and manage the tension that's in that. That's just one little example. So it's possible to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Some of the things that are attached to the message Simon had this morning, forgiving. So how do we get the peace of God? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 talks about rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard and guide your heart. I was like, hang on a minute. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, in other words, without being able to understand, without being able to solve the problem, without actually seeing an end in mind, the Bible tells me that God himself will guard and guide our heart when we rejoice. And I've always looked at that from the perspective of me having to rejoice and having this sense of joy. But you know what? This morning I was praying and thinking about that. You know, I've got work to do. Steve Adcock, you've got work to do. Because you and I, and it's not just Steve and me, it's all of us. I'm just picking on Steve because he's down there on my side. James, you've got work to do. Clara, you've got work to do. Brett, you've got work to do. And you go, what's the work? Be joyful. You want to help a mum get peace in her life, be joyful around her. Stop whinging. Stop complaining. Stop playing. Me, 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 me. One, 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 one. I can't. Now, obviously, I'm talking to older than little kids who are quite demanding. But we can teach our kids to be full of joy. We can teach our kids to be thankful. We can teach our... Those things are all mindset things that appear quite mechanical. You've got to teach your kids manners at the table. Why do manners matter? Because manners teach children respect. They teach children that there's things that we do that are about waiting. They're about other people who are more important. They're about things that when they happen in a certain way can bring a sense of calm to the some people's meal times at some people's homes that I visited over the last 60 years of my life. It's like feed time at the zoo. Total chaos. It's like, I've got a fair sense of the... My picture would be there's not always a lot of peace with that. It's like you can create that context of peace by eliciting a context of joy that's built around gratefulness. Grateful 24/7 means I'm joy-filled. So you can even get happy with your mum's a lousy cook. You know, just say grace and be thankful. And just joking. There's no bad cook mums here, are there? Is there? Every mum here's a good cook. You know, no mum shaming this morning at all. It's all good cooks. Just some of us are better than others, right? Just being, no, don't go there. Okay, let me ask you a practical question. Mother's Day might be going out for lunch maybe today. Which mums here are cooking their own Mother's Day lunch? Don't put your hands up. But if you do know that your mum's cooking her own Mother's Day lunch, shame on you. She'll be cooking lunch for her today, of all days. So ladies, mums that are present. But this obviously doesn't just apply to mums, it applies to all of us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Second thought for today was about our heart. A mother's heart is big for her kids. The more I thought about this, and I probably stopped and thought about this over the years, as a man, it really is impossible to even empathise with what it is like to have a new life grow inside your body for 9 months. It's just not, I kind of get the head around the science of that and the literal what's going on deal, but it's like I've got no way of ever experiencing that. And so a birth mum, has got this connection with a little person before they're actually born into the world as an independent unit of human life. And I'm just wondering whether there's an element of a mum's heart there that is always going to be different than a dad's heart. I don't mean heart that's pumping in here. I'm talking about that whole sense of connectedness emotionally, feelings-wise around our children. So when we make mistakes as a mum or with our mums, and we all have, what's at stake? Not normally information. It's not normally head-related. It's actually heart-related. There's such a level of bondedness between a mum and her children that is sacred and special, and it gets violated and messed up by all sorts of things and can be very, very complicated. But that doesn't get away from the fact that the complications are derived around the sense of the heart and how we feel about things. And so our mum's feelings, I've noticed that with Julie as the mum of our kids, she was, in some context, she's actually a pretty tough nut, my Julie. She's a hard-working, very thoughtful, able to be very comfortable in the head space and the hand space, and very comfortable in the heart space. But I've noticed that where the most damage gets done, as far as what I might have damaged her with, is in the heart arena. And a mum's heart can be broken. Thank the Lord that Jesus said, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted." This morning you might be sitting here as a mum on Mother's Day with a broken heart. Something might have happened to you as a mother, or with your own mother, or a mother that's a significant person in your life. And motherhood and the whole deal of Mother's Day leaves you with this sense of emptiness or brokenness. And there's nothing, in my view, that the world's got to offer to fix that. But I have got this huge sense of relief of believing that, yes, that's possibly where you might be sitting this morning. But Jesus, the Son of God, came to heal the brokenhearted. Doesn't matter how the damage occurred, that's important maybe for you to know, and maybe you want to tell some people about that at some point down the track, if ever. Doesn't matter how complicated or whether it was an instant in time or it's been a protracted length of time that the brokenness of hearts happened to you as a mum. But I got to say to you that I believe that God can in an instant heal that. Sometimes it's not instantaneous. Sometimes it's a journey through life with him in a fellowship like this where you're just wondering, is my heart ever going to be healed? Well, I believe it will be. But sometimes God, for all kinds of reasons, may be unknown to us. It's a little bit like the mystery of you and me being formed in our mother's womb. There's stuff going on in that secret place that we don't know about, but it's like, it's not been ordained that a child is conceived one moment and born the next. It's 9 months. Sometimes our journey out of a broken-hearted scenario is lengthy. That doesn't mean it's not happening. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means it's going to take a process. Because some of the brokenness that we've experienced is so complicated and intertwined with so many dimensions of our life, God's just like this really careful surgeon, just picking apart the bits that need to be pulled off it and disconnected from it and cauterized and cut off bit by bit so that this brokenness can be pulled out. So it's like, just reach your hand and pull it out. Well, there could be carnage in there, and you've got other things that are broken. So God lovingly and gently guides us, mums, out of the wilderness, out of that brokenheartedness. And he come to heal the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, verse 3 to 6 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. I love the fact that brokenheartedness is linked in the narrative to counting the stars. It means to me that it's a big deal. And it means to me it's complicated. And it means to me that it's sometimes mysterious as to what God's up to. But this morning, mums, I'm just going to continue to believe that as you might be dealing with an area of brokenness in that area of your life. You know, anxiety and depression, suicidal thoughts and all of that whole arena of mental health is, it's a huge issue in our community as I speak today. There are mums out there who've just got no idea why they are even taking the next breath. Well, I'd love to make sure that as much as it's up to you and me who know those mums, that we encourage them that their next breath is vital to us. We love them. We cherish them. They're incredibly loved by God. And as much as it's up to us, let's help to be the people who know how to help the brokenhearted get on with life, find the best life that they can have. And so this morning, women, let me just pause for a minute and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in this arena of feelings where mums are the champions of champions. Some of us guys here are so thick we don't feel anything. We certainly miss the cues when maybe our wife or our mum is shedding a tear, and we might have been brought up to feel uncomfortable around tears, but our spouse or our mum or our kids see their mum crying. I just pray, Lord, that every tear, Lord, every moment of feeling unworthy or unrecognized, taken for granted, today, Lord, would just be pushed aside and a sense of warmth of your presence would flow into the feelings arena of every mum. Let them remember, Lord, that what they do as a mum is absolutely treasured. Well, what they did in order to have children is beyond description miraculous. And I pray, Father, that you would guide every mum today into a place of being of sound mind. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. So, Lord, today as we sang that song 10 or 15 minutes ago, breath of life, breathe on our mums, Lord, with a sound mind, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, in the last area this morning, just for a few minutes. A mother's hands are a gift to every one of us, is a comment I wrote down here. It's the proverb that I mentioned a moment ago describes, they are hands that work hard. They are hands that fix things. They make things, they cook, they caress, they massage, they clean, they clap, they smack, they hug, they hold us. I appreciate, for me, the memory of my mum's hands. I want you to appreciate today, if your mum's here, or you're seeing your mum later on today, when she gives you a hug, think about her hands. Think about what those hands have done for you. Think about the work that they did. They might have been hands that spanked you inappropriately. They might have been hands that were shaken with fists in anger and frustration that you saw. They might have been hands that did give hand signals in the car that you learned was probably not the right thing because your mum was pretty cranky about something going on the road. You might have seen the bad side of hands. We've all done it, one way or another. But on the other side of the coin, my experience is most mums are looking for ways to use their hands to hold, to hug, and to have their kids do well in life. And so we just bless you and honour you mums around the room today. Be aware that God has watched and been close to you every time you've had a tear, every time you've had calluses on your hands, every time you cut your finger preparing a meal or pruning things in the garden and your hands have become covered in dirt and got all dry and crusty and you've been out digging up the weeds. He's watching. I appreciate what you do as a mum. We all do. What your mums have done with you with their hands. So I want to finish with this thought around those three things. I feel like we can sometimes wish people well and we honour our mums today and that's appropriate we do that. But I want to finish off today by saying I want you to be way more proactive than that with your mum or with the women that are in your life, whether it's a spouse or a sister or a friend from work. Don't just categorise it as mums. I want us to be aware that we can do things. And so Gary Chapman wrote a book years ago we've used here at church called The Five Love Languages. Not the three, but the five. So we're stretching out here to five. But that book's really practical about things we can do that actually help our mum feel loved. And so I want to finish with those final five. Just refresh, if you've never heard this before, you can get his book. It's a great read to help you understand what your love language is and what the love language of people around you are. And by that, he's talking about the fact that we have different things that we respond to that, for us, equal love. And so the five of them, I'll list them out, are quality time, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation, and receiving gifts. And you can work out what your mum's love language is by watching what she does and what she doesn't do. And so I had a mum that was, she would have had two. She was very physical touch. She loved hugs, got that from her dad. My grandpa was the biggest hugger in the world. He would probably be misunderstood in the 21st century, but he would get on the bus down at Largs Bay and drive go into the city of Adelaide, and he would have given everybody on the bus a hug by the time I got off. And he just loved people. And my mum was a hugger. I'm a bit of a hugger. Some people find that a bit weird, but I am. So physical touch. And some people are like, that's not their thing at all. And so if you just hug them all the time, they can never feel loved. If you hug me, I'd feel loved. Acts of service. I really love acts of service. And I've been doing a renovation at our home over the last 6 months or so, and I've thought about it from the context of it's actually, to me, an act of service. I actually feel like I'm providing this really nice environment for Julie and I to live in. But it's like there's an element of act of service. And so when people serve me, I feel loved. You could give me gifts till you're blue in the face. It would make no difference to my barometer about feeling loved. I'm not a gift giver. Just ask Julie. She is. So if I want to make her feel loved, I've got to get over my lack of gift-giving enthusiasm and give her gifts. And I would have to say, to be perfectly honest, I fail miserably. Absolutely miserably fail because it doesn't actually gel for me. And that's not it sounds like an excuse, and it's not an excuse, it's just lame. But, yep. What I'm saying with these five things is it is possible to do what we need to do to make sure our mum feels loved. So today, if it's quality time, sit down and talk to her. If it's physical touch, go and give your mum a big hug. If it's acts of service, cook her the best lunch she's ever had in her life. She'll love you for it. She might want to talk because she's not quality time, so don't talk to me, just give me good food. She might be one who's really encouraged by you telling her she's beautiful. I just love your smile, Mum. Your smile just fills the room. And words of affirmation just fill her. You don't need to cook a meal. You don't need to bring her flowers. You just go in and tell her a few things about her that she is just encouraged and strengthened by the words of affirmation. And finally, oh yeah, I've already used that one. Which one haven't I done? Well, I lingered in receiving gifts. I'm just under conviction. Okay. Anyway, there's five of them. Go to work. You can do that, right? Yeah. Why don't we stand to our feet? We're going to close this morning around this this message. Let us get out into the day with our mums and enjoy. So women, ladies, mums that are present, just my heartfelt prayer this morning is that you'll have your head, your heart and your hands in balance in the year ahead, and you'll find yourself not crushed by any issue. Bible says, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden's light when we're balanced. Head, heart, hands. Heavenly Father, today as we head off into the remainder of our Mother's Day, whatever we're getting up to, pray that every family that assembles around the meal, time together, whatever they're doing, Lord, I pray that the mums that are present would indeed feel loved and appreciated for what they've done. Lord, you comfort those who regret what they didn't do or did do. Lord, we pray for those who are maybe for the first time this year mourning a Mother's Day without their mum. Pray, Lord, for those for whom their relationship with their mother is fractured and very, very messed up and broken. We pray, Lord, today that you would minister your love and your healing into every one of those contexts. And as much as it's up to us, Lord, we would love our mums through those five love languages to encourage and strengthen her today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Simon mentioned way back in the meeting that there'd be an opportunity for us to consider where we stand with God today and to meet with Jesus. Preached a message a few weeks ago, I think, here about him being the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus has got a storyline that he's written for your life. One of the greatest things you can do in a story is to actually have the author meet the author of your story. Pastor Phil did a book signing at Presence a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, it's great to actually meet the person who wrote the book. And you know, congratulations, great. Hope this is a great read for you. I'd love you to study it and get something out of it. Can you imagine that? That's Jesus' heart. He wants to be able to write on your heart a book signing, the author of life signing on your heart. Hey, I wrote a great story. I hope you love it. Let's not get off track. Let's stay on track. And so we talk about inviting Jesus to come into our life. That's, in other words, is inviting the author, the guy who's written your story, to live in you and help you to stay on track with your story. And so it's just a no-brainer for me to ask this question every week. Looking around the room, I know many of you and where you're at in your relationship with God as far as what you present to us. But I don't know everybody that well, and I don't know, and I don't want to assume anything. So I want to ask you, do you know the author of life? Has he been given permission to come in and sign off on your heart? Hey, I wrote this story. It's a blinking good story. Get ready for a blast. Let's do life together. That's what it means to become a Christian. It's what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You invite him in, the author and the perfecter of faith. So can I just ask you all to close your eyes for a moment? Because I want to give people just a moment to privately consider this really important decision to make. Yeah, I want to invite the author and the perfecter, Jesus Christ, into my heart so that I can actually walk through this life with the guy who wrote my story and stay on track consistently. If you've never invited Christ into your life, if you never had the author come and sign your book, why don't you invite him to come in this morning and do that right now? The way we do that in our church is a couple of mechanical steps here. One is I'm going to ask you in a moment to slip your hand up if that's you and say, that's me, Bruce. After that, we'll pray a prayer together. Everyone who's standing here will pray this prayer after me. I'll have words and you just copy the words and pray a prayer that invites Jesus to come into your life. And after the meeting's finished, I'm going to ask you to come down to the front of the area down here, and it's just, I'll be standing down there. I'd just love to talk with you and meet you and pray with you. Don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. Don't want to put any pressure on you at all. But if you know that it's your time to say, yes, I want to meet Jesus, I'd love to make sure that we connect at the end, say hi, We'll give you a Bible and introduce you to somebody that can help you in your journey. So, right now, if that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, yep, Pastor Bruce, that is me. I'm ready to invite the author of life, my life, into my life. And I want to walk with him for the rest of my days. Just going to look across the room from my left to my right, and then from my right back to my left. If you need to slip your hand up, please do. And we'll say a prayer together. And you will meet him. And he will sign your heart. And you will be changed forever. It's the best thing you could possibly ever do. Anyone this morning, it's your moment to invite him to do that. Father, today then, I pray that you'd be with us as we head out into the rest of this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.